I know of no other Sunday during the year where you are more likely to have eaten and be full than the Sunday just after Thanksgiving. Well, God's Word has a message for us. It speaks directly to people who have eaten and are full, and tells us how we ought to respond to that. And this Sunday, I've set aside the study of the book of Mark for today's text in Deuteronomy 8, which is well suited for the Sunday following Thanksgiving Day. So today we're in the book of Deuteronomy, today in the Old Testament, the final book of Moses. And the setting is this. The people of God are on the verge of the promised land. You'll know that initially they failed to trust God, and thus they did not enter the promised land, but God made them wander in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years. And the Lord miraculously sustained them during this time, sending manna by day and by giving them water, sometimes water from a rock. But now they are in a fertile area and are about to move into the promised land, which is a fertile area. And the contrast must have been striking to them, for people who have spent a generation, more than a generation, wandering about in the wilderness, in the desert, to be there in fertile land, about to enter into the promised land, must have been striking. Moses is in the final stage of his life. He will be passing away soon. Joshua will become the new leader. Moses will die having seen the promised land from a distance, but he will not enter into it. And our text today in Deuteronomy chapter 8 is part of Moses' farewell speech to Israel. And in his speech, he reminds Israel of their God and their duty toward him. So I'm going to say a brief prayer, and then we'll jump in with verse 6. Father in heaven, please help us to understand what your word says. It is a lamp for our feet. It is a light for our path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll read verses 6 through 9. Again, Moses is the speaker here. So you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For Yahweh your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. First note Moses' exhortation toward the people. You shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your God and fear him. The sign of a good spiritual leader is one who wants the obedience of the people toward God. As John the Baptist said, he was not there to increase, he must decrease so that Christ must increase. And here Moses is using this farewell speech, not to pump up himself, but he is being a good shepherd, and he's encouraging the people to obey the Lord. Moses' concern is not his own honor, but that the Lord be honored. And perhaps oddly, the word in the verses we just read that most took my attention is the word for, F-O-R, found at the beginning of verse 7. And the reason for that is because it expresses a train of thought. On the one hand, loving obedience is right and proper and expected from a people who have been blessed by a God who's done so much for them. But it seems that the word for carries an additional sense here. It carries an additional train of thought. And it is this. Moses is telling the people, you all have experienced 40 years of life on hard terrain. You have been in the wilderness. You have been in the desert for 40 years. And life in the wilderness has required you to witness and to think on God's daily provision. Otherwise, you would perish. If the Lord did not send the manna, you would have perished. If the Lord had not brought water out of the rock, you would have perished. You have witnessed and known daily dependence on God. But now the Lord is about to lead you into a lush land. A land where there's going to be abundant water. A land where there's going to be delicious fruits, delicious food. He's bringing you into a good and rich land. And in your prosperity, do not let the Lord be out of sight, out of mind. Observe the commands of the Lord and fear Him. Don't let what seems like less dependency on the Lord because of the abundance around you corrupt your thinking. You are just as dependent upon God in a land of prosperity as you are in the middle of the wilderness. Fear Him and obey Him. It won't be as apparent as it was in the desert that you're still fully dependent on Him. It won't be as apparent as it was in the desert that He is the one who still provides and sustains you daily. But it will be the case. Obey Him and fear Him. We read on in verses 10 through 14. And so you will eat and be satisfied, and you shall bless Yahweh your God for the good land which He has given you. Beware lest you forget Yahweh your God by not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I am commanding you today. Lest you eat and are satisfied and build good houses and live in them, and your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, and your heart becomes lifted up. Here, lifted up means proud. And your heart becomes lifted up, and you forget Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. First, dear friends, notice that God delights and is pleased to give His children good gifts. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? God is pleased to give every kind of good gift as He sees fit to His people. Dear friends, our Lord is not stingy. He's not greedy. He's not miserly. He's not tight-fisted. He is not grudging. Our God is generous. Our God is charitable. He gave Israel a land of milk and honey. In Romans 8, we read the words of Paul, He who indeed did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Jesus is preparing rooms for us in His Father's house. The kingdom of God is described as a banquet feast. God delights and is pleased to give His children good gifts. But, dear friends, beware. Beware. Do not forget the Lord and His commands. And God knows how the human heart is prone to pride and prone to forget Him in the midst of prosperity. Look at some of the verbs in succinct form thus far in our passage. Observe the commands of God. Your God is bringing you into a good land. When you have eaten, praise the Lord your God. Be careful you do not forget. Otherwise, your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God. Dear friends, we must take care because God's people are prone to forget God when he prospers them. In our New Testament reading earlier in the service, we read Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, where Jesus heals 10 men of leprosy. Only one returns to thank Jesus, and Jesus says, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? The 10 were eager to petition Jesus for mercy, but only one returned to thank Jesus for the mercy that was shown. When God blesses us, we must not forget to praise and obey him. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And the disciples were astonished at this because they were thinking, well, we see in the Old Testament with signs that God, these are signs of God's blessing upon his people. If they can't be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. But we must be careful in our prosperity that it does not become a poison to us. I've seen it as a pastor where the Lord has blessed people with additional resources, such that they buy a mountain house or buy a beach house or buy a motorhome. And people who were formerly active in the local church, serving in the local church, using the spiritual gifts in the local church, are kind of end up being infrequent in worship, sometimes nowhere to be seen. Now, let's make clear, there's nothing inherently wrong with a mountain house or a beach house or a motorhome. The problem is not the presence of these blessings. The problem is the misuse of these blessings. And it can be anything. It can be a full tummy, a good crop, a comfortable home, a full pantry, a boat, a fishing rod, a set of clubs, academic success, success in work, success in sports, whatever. And the point is not necessarily to become a person who denies himself or herself all pleasures. The point is that in the midst of these blessings, we observe the commands of the Lord. We praise the Lord our God. That we're careful not to forget him. That we do not forget the Lord nor his commands. Again, there is nothing inherently wrong with a blessing. It is a blessing. What is wrong is when we make a wrong response to God's blessings. The Lord knows the human heart. He knows its tendencies. And the Lord, in order to test our hearts and to train our hearts, even brings difficult times to us so that we will know better our dependency on him. And difficult times are not necessarily a punishment for a particular sin. Job saw great difficult times. Difficult times are often the Lord's blessing to draw us nearer and to conform us into the image of Christ. And an important part of this, folks, is remembering the Lord and your dependency on him, not only when we are in tough situations, and you've been there before when you cry out to the Lord and say, "Oh Lord, I don't know that I can get through this day. I don't know if I can get through this week without you. Help me." And it's important to remember when he sweetens the pot, when things are better, when he pours out extra blessings, that we still look to him daily, obey his commands, and call upon him. God calls us to remember what he has brought us out of, just as he reminded the Jews again and again that he had brought them out of slavery in Egypt. God calls us to remember what he has brought us out of, so we will remain obedient and grateful and praise him. Now, verses 15 through 18. He led you through the great and fearsome wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember Yahweh your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. First of all, I do want to acknowledge that there may be some of you, I think there are, there's some of you who are in the hard terrain of life presently. You may be in a dreadful desert. You may be in a thirsty and waterless land with venomous snakes and scorpions. And I want to tell you that the Lord leads his people through such terrain. You need not fear, for God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. As he did with the Israelites, he may well be humbling you and testing you so that in the end it might go well with you. His intent is your good. But when it goes well with you, or dear folks for whom it is going well presently, let us not say in our hearts, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this for me. Rather, let us remember the Lord our God, for it is he who gives the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. Whatever power we have, whatever skill we have, whatever strength we have, whatever smarts we have, whatever success we have, we say to God be the glory, he has done this. Have you looked at your bounty lately and thought, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this for me? Have you closed a deal lately and thought, hey, I was pretty good? Have you taught a class? Have you cooked something? Have you won a competition? Have you received a bonus? Have you created something? Have you been shrewd? Have you been Johnny on the spot? Have you been the man? Have you come away thinking, my power, my intelligence, my strength, my determination have produced this? The Lord warns, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget Yahweh your God. Remember, it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? When the Lord provides extra blessings, one of the questions we should ask ourselves is, how can I use this extra blessing to honor and serve the Lord and not pretend like this good thing just came out of our own wherewithal? It is a gift from the Lord. And just as the Lord is requiring the Israelites to remember that he has brought them out of the desert, that he fed them, that he led them, that he preserved them, we do well to reflect on where he has brought us from and what he has brought us out of. And bringing people out of a physical desert to a place that's lush and a blessed land is wonderful, but it is all the more a picture of what he has done for us spiritually. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Dear friends, God has brought us out of a spiritual desert. He has brought us out of being spiritually dead and led us to life in Christ, the Holy Spirit applying salvation earned by Christ. And let us not forget that. And if there be any here today who have not yet known that life in Christ, perhaps it's a good time to reflect on what life is like apart from Christ. And if your soul is not satisfied with that, and I suspect it's not, then it's the time to call upon Jesus to fill that emptiness, to believe in Him, have faith in Him, repent of your sins, to love and follow Him. And the Lord will lead you to a place of spiritual prosperity and lushness. Verses 19 and 20. Now it will be, if you ever forget Yahweh your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. Like the nations that Yahweh makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of Yahweh your God. We have a clear warning here. People who follow other gods, whether it be so-called gods or the god of self-pleasure, the god of just putting yourself on the throne, those who follow these things, the Bible is clear, will not be saved. God does not show favoritism. Whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, whether your parents are fine Christians or not, those who follow other gods will be destroyed. And dear friends, I think we all are aware that those so-called gods do not give satisfaction in the end anyway. They sometimes give momentary pleasure, but they don't give lasting satisfaction, and they usually bite hard in the end. The abundant life is enjoyed by those who enjoy the abundant giver. Abundant and everlasting life is enjoyed by those who observe the Lord's commands, who praise Him, and who remember. Dear friends, may Jesus' journey to the cross never lose its wonder. May it never become passé to us. Remember that it was not with perishable things like gold or silver that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you, but it was with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Let us thank God. Let us remember Him. I'll lead us in prayer. Father in heaven, you led your Old Testament saints over rugged terrain, and you provided for them there. And you have led us through rugged times and provided for us, and we thank you. And where we can help a fellow believer currently traveling a rugged road, help us to do that. Father, for those of us who have eaten and who are satisfied, for those of us who have more blessings than we can count, we want to thank you. And we want to declare it that is from your hand, and we bless you. And where we've been proud, where we have forgotten you, where we have said, I am the man, where we have thought these things, good things in our lives, have been a result 100% of our own doing, forgive us. We repent. We repent and acknowledge that all good things are from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.